I wasn't going to do a podcast today, folks. I really wasn't. I made it through the whole day. Usually when I do a podcast, it's about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I come home, I'm ready to roll. Today I came home, I watched the whole shit show, the entire congressional shit show today, where they rolled out all the bankers, the CEOs of the major banks, and what appeared to be 50,000 members of Congress, none of whom have any clue about economics, the capital markets, or how finance works, decided to lob questions and politically grandstand for the entire day. That happened. That passed, right? I made it through the whole day, not coming home, not being furious, not wanting to scream into the microphone. Went about my business this afternoon, went to jiu-jitsu, came home, had a, you know, pretty good time at the gym. And I'm coming home, and as I'm coming home, I'm looking at my phone, and all of a sudden, it pops up on my phone, Janet Yellen says something about the Fed. Where the fuck is it? Janet Yellen says Fed stays out of politics. Nothing we do is political. And you know what? It just fucking triggered me, like one of those memes. I was like, that's it. Fucking shit. You know, driving home with the hands clenched on the wheel, white knuckled. I said, I got to go home and I got to do a podcast now. It opened the floodgates. I wasn't even going to say anything at all, aside from my Twitter commentary today about the congressional shit show that was today. But now the floodgates are open, folks. I'm going to get it. And then you know what? I hope you're in a rush, too, because I'm going to do the whole thing probably in a half hour because I got shit to do. It's 9:30. It's past my bedtime. I'm an old man. I take Centrum Silver. All right? That's all you need to know. First and foremost, before we get started, I want to shout out my patrons. Patrons are people that make a recurring donation to the podcast through Patreon. They support me. They're the capitalistic engine behind the podcast. First and foremost, want to shout out my friends over at Quantumize.com. Quantumize is an AI powered platform with access to over 10,000 stocks, options, and cryptos, was recently rated the number one alternative to a Bloomberg terminal, and I just saw on Twitter they just made their whole fucking thing free. The entire service is free. The link's in my profile. Go check out Quantumize.com. I also want to shout out my friends over at Rumorhound. Rumorhound is a brand new product that basically scours millions of websites to uncover the most reliable unknown sources that are surfacing actionable information about potential mergers and acquisitions. So when you log on, you're on Twitter, you're on the chat room, whatever, you see all these rumors and bullshit and nonsense about M&A. You don't know which ones are true, which ones aren't. A lot of times people write chatter. Hey, chatter about Amarin. Hey, chatter about JD.com. Well, Rumorhound is there to make sense of it all for you. There is a link to Rumorhound, 14-day free trial in my podcast description. You can also check that out. Finally, I want to thank my friends over at Hella Bacon. Hella Bacon is a service from Texas that allows you to shoot machine guns out of helicopters. I could describe it further, folks, but do you really need to fucking hear any more than that? HellaBacon.com, HellaBacon.com. Their link is also in my podcast description. I also want to shout out my friends over at Corvus Gold, Nathan Michaud at Investors Underground, Chris Bede, Ken R., Chris Boas, and Russ Valenti, my friend Piggly Wiggly, and some of my newest patrons. And of course, if I was prepared, I would have the fucking thing up here in front of me. But I don't, because I just came in and started screaming and sweating like I just got done playing a full court game of basketball. Here it is. Just want to shout out my new patrons. Kyle Thomas, what's up, brother? I see you. Carter Bell, I see you too. Sugar Bear, post plastic surgery balance sheet. Don't know what that means, but stoked to have your money. So thanks a lot. Aubergine Randy Goon, another normal name. Morgan McGarahan. Sounds like an Italian person. Shvetty McDangley Balsack von Kavin Schnegelsnoven. Thank you. Ryan Chapman. Rock That Frog. Art Spurl. Justin and Bertha Moreno. Peter Schwartz. What's going on? And real quick, taking in all the patrons in under 3 minutes. Ready? I'm going to shout out a couple of old patrons. Isaac B. I see my friend Nathan Weiss is still in the house. Fodoronsky, I see you still. Greg Kroll, brother. Good to have you with me still. Bulls, Bears, Pigs, and Flo Algo. Never forgot about you guys, and never will. Jim Tipton bowled a perfect 300 once, he told me. Jen Ross, I see you on Twitter. Mel Trier, I see you. Mihailo Heiler, what's going on? David Drumright. John Fitzgerald, what's going on, my kind friend? Max motherfucking Mulvihill, and Sarah Calaf is still in the house. What's up, Sarah? All right, that's it for today. Two other things before we get started, and I'm going to get all this shit done within 5 minutes, which means I got 20 seconds to tell you that I'm not an investment advisor. I don't take any of my advice. Don't do anything that I say. Do your research elsewhere. Folks, this is not a financial advice podcast, okay? This is a place where drunks hang out to talk about their problems. Finally, last but not least, There's a 2-drink minimum to this podcast. That goes back to what I just said about being drunk. I'm just assuming you're fulfilling the 2-drink minimum anyways. Whatever. Listen, the point is, if you're listening to my podcast, something isn't right in your head, but I'm happy to have you here with me. All right, let's talk about what's going on. What is going on, folks? Well, today, if you turned on CNBC, you may have noticed that all of the heads of the major banks were lined up in front of the House Financial Services Committee. I think that's what it was. If it isn't, I'm just making shit up, but whatever. One of these committees, chaired by Maxine Waters and flanked by, I don't know, what appeared to be 30 or 40 other people that had no clue what was going on. Okay? No clue. So you have 10 or 12 heads of banks that are experts in finance. All right? These guys understand what's going on, from the $10 fee that you pay on your checking account every month, all the way down to complex foreign currency swaps and derivatives that are, you know, causing billions of dollars of your money to be speculated with in London. The point is, folks, these CEOs understand the game, all right? They are the fucking game, to be honest with you. Guys like Moynihan, guys like Dimon, guys like whoever replaced Blank Fine, I forget his name, Solomon or Goldberg or something, doesn't matter. The point is, these are the guys that are running the whole system, all right? And here's how you know. Guys like Trump think they're in charge. Guys like Jerome Powell think they're in charge. But when the two of them want to wake up and buy a fucking donut in the morning, they open their wallet and they pull out their Bank of America debit card, or they pull out their American Express card, or they pull out their Citibank card. And when Trump needs a loan to go out and build some gaudy piece of shit in Atlantic City or Las Vegas, what does he do? He picks up the phone and he calls Citibank, or he calls Bank of America, and he gets the loan from them, all right? So these guys are still at the behest of the banks. Now, they might think that they're in charge, but really, the guys that were sitting in Congress today, as far as, like, masters of the universe go, as far as, like, the Emperor Palpatines of the earth as we know it, this is basically as close as we're going to get. These are the guys running the fucking show. I think the coolest part about Trump's campaign was during one of the events, you know, Chris Wallace, and this gives you just great insight into the difference in thinking between the way that the public thinks about the banks and the way that people, quote unquote, on the inside, guys like Trump who have been around, they've done some business. You can say what you want about his business acumen, but whatever. Guys like him that have done some business before, Chris Wallace asked him, you know, Mr. Trump, is it true that you declared bankruptcy several times and that you stiffed some of these banks on some loans, defaulted on some of your loans? And Trump was like, yeah, let me explain something. And by the way, one thing people didn't understand, the reason that Trump kept getting pissed off about the bankruptcy question is because, yes, some of his companies did go bankrupt, right? A lot of them did. I think he filed for bankruptcy several times, right? The bankruptcy laws are there for a reason, all right? You can say what you want about filing for bankruptcy. It's not the best business plan. It puts people out of work, and it's, you know, indicative of a failure of being able to run your business in a solvent fashion. But it doesn't mean that the person running the business didn't cash out for themselves, unfortunately, which is probably the case in many of Trump's businesses that went bankrupt. So you can say on one hand that makes him a terrible, horrible person for having people like housekeepers at his hotel wind up losing jobs and stiffing vendors on payments for things like pouring concrete and shit. And yes, that does make him a dickhead. But on the other hand, the reason I think he kept taking offense to that question is because he personally never filed for bankruptcy. And I think he was having trouble separating those two things. The public was assuming that because his companies had filed for bankruptcy, that he had filed for bankruptcy, and that's not the case. And I think the reason he's taking offense to it is because from a business standpoint, in his head, he sees bankruptcy as a strategy, which is not really different than personal bankruptcy, right? If you go out and you run up a bunch of credit card debt and all of a sudden you can't make your interest payments on your credit card debt, and then you have something that interrupts your incoming cash flow stream, like you lose your job, sometimes the best strategic move is to file for bankruptcy. Yes, it's going to fucking destroy your credit. Yes, you're going to stiff your creditors. But then the question, like from a personal standpoint, would be, well, why did JP Morgan turn around and give you a $50,000 credit line on your credit card to begin with if you weren't a creditworthy borrower? And so I thought the way that Trump answered that question when he said, Chris, you know, These bankers, they're killers, all right? They're total killers. And you don't understand that. You think that these are all some nice guys, whatever. But he's right. You know, it's up to the banks to do due diligence on who they're lending to. And you can't tell me that whoever lent to Trump last, whether it was Citigroup or JP Morgan or Bank of America, didn't know how Trump got down, didn't know that he was litigious, didn't know that he had a history of stiffing his vendors. So this idea that everybody should be appalled because Trump defaulted, you know, look, you can argue the bankruptcy thing is terrible because people lost their jobs, and I'll argue for that also too. But stiffing the banks is not a big deal. Let's just go back to the point. Because again, it's on the banks, right? It's on the banks to do their due diligence, right? And either they give Trump a loan on terms that's commensurate with the risk that he presents, you know, something with a high coupon and strict covenants, or they secure the loan with something, right? Or they make sure that they have senior status on the credit structure totem pole so that when there is a liquidation or a reorganization that they have preference, but that's their job to jostle for those things. Okay, it's the bank's job to jostle and make sure that they are positioned well in the company's capital structure and that they know who they're lending to. But let's just go back today, right? So the guys that are manufacturing these deals, the guys that are overseeing all this stuff, again, from the $10 you fucking pay for gas on your debit card to the $50 million somebody takes out in a loan from a consortium of banks to put together an oil pipeline, these are the guys running the deals. And questioning them, okay, are people that have trouble operating an ATM on their own. Probably. You know, I can't prove it, but I'm not quite sure that members of Congress all know how to go up and even just use an ATM to begin with. You can't tell me, based on some of the lines of questioning today, that these people have a fucking clue. And again, this is not a partisan statement. This is a bipartisan statement. Because as I was watching one idiot after another in Congress today come out with these stupid fucking questions that were total wastes of time, and this whole, you know, I yield back, I yield forward, I yield my time, I give 20 seconds of my time to this guy, I take 20 seconds of my time, I cut it up into small pieces, I put it onto a pizza, and then I eat it. You know, this whole stupid pomp and circumstance. Oh, Robert, rules of order. The gentleman's out of order. The lady's out of order. Sir, you know, raise your... You know, it's so fucking stupid. It's so much grandstanding and nonsense and bullshit. And again, this isn't a partisan statement because I was watching so many people today and so many of the representatives. I was watching a live stream that wasn't putting anything up on the screen, so I didn't know whether they were Democrats or whether they were Republicans. I could tell from some of their lines of questioning who I thought were Democrats and who I thought were Republicans. But I was pretty much watching the hearing from a nonpartisan standpoint. And also, think about this, folks. I'm not the biggest fans of Jamie Dimon. I'm not the biggest fan of fucking Brian Moynihan. I'm not the biggest fan of all these CEOs, all right? I don't like paying the fucking exorbitant fees that I pay to bank. I hate it, actually. Do I think it's fair that somebody that deposits $1 million with JP Morgan today, despite 9 rate cuts over the last 3 years, is getting 11 basis points on that? Do I think that's fair? Absolutely not. Do I think it makes JP Morgan a savvy business? Well, yeah, I do, right? Because then they're just taking the whole spread on whatever they're doing with your money, turning around and putting it into fucking frozen concentrated orange juice futures in Belgium somewhere. But that is up to the consumer to try and determine which bank is going to take care of them the best, right? And many times it's been argued by libertarians and Austrian economists, and I agree with this, and free market capitalists, that if the government didn't back these banks, if the government, these FDIC, wasn't insuring deposits up to $250,000, that banks would actually have to compete for your money. They would have to disclose what they're doing with your capital after you give it to them. So when you go and you put money with JP Morgan just because you think, it's just like the other banks, and then you wake up one morning and you find out some, you know, trader in London was drunk off a Zambuca and was shoving Quaaludes up his ass while gambling $6 billion on some type of exotic, you know, Australian kangaroo futures, well, then that comes as a little bit of a surprise. You're like, shit, that's what happened to my $20? I was going to use that to buy a pack of gum later today. And I don't even know what happened. To the average mom and pop, when they see something like the London Whale scandal, you know, to them, that just looks like, well, money just disappeared. You know, the scene in South Park where he's like, and it's gone, you know? Where's my 20? I wanted to buy a fucking case of Pabst Blue Ribbon with that money. Where the hell is it? So you got these guys up there sitting in front of Congress, 10 of them sitting up there like they're criminals, which, you know, they are. But that doesn't make it right, you know? I feel like sticking up for these guys today because of how fucking stupid Congress is. These hearings are insane. They're just nuts. They roll these guys out, and then all these idiots on the Financial Service Committee, they get 5 minutes each. I said committee. The committee. Sorry, it's late at night, folks. You're going to have to bear with me. All these guys, they all get 5 minutes. Here's my 5 minutes, all right? And what they need to do is they need to put on a show in hopes that somebody is watching C-SPAN, or better yet, somebody sees their temper tantrum that they throw, and they take a clip of it from C-SPAN, and they put it on YouTube, and then it goes viral on social media. I'm pretty sure that's what these guys are hoping for. Because I can tell you what they're not doing is they're not sitting down and educating themselves about the problem so that they can ask pointed, multidimensional questions. Because that's not happening. Case in fucking point. Case in point, folks, the head of the Financial Services Committee, Miss Maxine Waters, okay, gets up there today and starts talking about student debt. Ah, student debt. What are you going to do to help students with this overwhelming load of student debt? And Brian Moynihan's like, well, we nationalized student debt like 10 fucking years ago. And she's like, actually, what he said. So this is what happened. Maxine Waters goes to one of the CEOs. I forget which one. How are you going to help these people that are struggling with student debt? And the guy answered, well, we haven't issued student debt since 2007. And instead of something going off in Waters' brain and saying, oh, well, that's fucking interesting. That's weird. You know, maybe I should think about that for a second. She just goes on to the next bank CEO. She figures, well, if this guy didn't fuck it up, it's the next guy. Because she's already indicted all these guys in her mind. These guys are all criminals in her mind, regardless of whether or not they're actually criminals. You know, which, again, I'm sure that some of them are. But she goes right to the next guy. Well, what about you, fucky fuck? What are you going to do to help with the student loan debt problem? And then the second guy goes, well, we stopped doing that in 2010. And now after two people have told her we're no longer an issue student debt, nothing went off in her brain or in her staffer's brain. If I was one of her staffers, I would have given her the hook, you know, like they used to do in the old time vaudeville acts when somebody would get up there and he would do a shitty job, so they would throw tomatoes at him and then one guy would just stick the hook out on stage. You know, like fucking Showtime at the Apollo when they just gong you the fuck off stage. Just stop, you know, just run out in front of her and dive to get her off of her seat like somebody's trying to prevent an assassination attempt, you know, in slow motion. Oh! And she's getting ready to ask that third question, but she did. Nobody stopped her. Hey, Mr. White Guy, Bad Guy CEO, what about you? When did you stop issuing student debt? And he says, well, you know, we nationalized student debt 10 years ago, or not since the Obama administration nationalized student debt. All right, this woman is the House Financial Services Committee chair. Ladies and gentlemen, if this doesn't sum it up for you, and again, not trying to make a partisan statement, because if this was a Republican saying the same thing, I would be noting how fucking stupid it is. But you have to understand, okay, what you're seeing here is you're seeing the inmates are running the asylum. All right, the inmates are running the asylum. The blind are leading the blind. Nobody knows what's going. You know, you have these people that are trying to regulate and they don't even understand the game. It's like taking a couple of fucking, you know, iguanas and putting them in NFL referee uniforms and sending them out onto the field and saying, hey, call this game here. Make sure there's no pass interference. You know, they're just going to wander around looking for food, eating flies. You know, it's like they just don't fucking belong there. And it's the same thing. Waters just doesn't belong there, obviously. It's like when Ocasio-Cortez was asking the CEO of Wells Fargo, you know, what are you going to do in the case of an oil spill? He's like, I don't know. I'm not running a fucking oil company. I'm running a bank. Well, don't you think as the lender, oh, Yeah, like the lender's going to go get involved with everybody's business. Like I lend Dunkin' Donuts $20 million, and I'm the CEO of Wells Fargo, and I need to check in with the baker at midnight at my local Dunkin' Donuts to make sure that the dough is fluffy enough. Not how it works, okay? It's not what the banking industry does. But this is the problem when you criminalize all these guys to begin with. And again, not saying that some of them aren't criminals. Not saying I don't have a beef with these guys. It's just that right now, my larger beef happens to be with Congress. And you get these people up there, and it's just such fucking grandstanding. The one guy gets up there and he's like, instead of just asking these people, hey, do you have diversity programs in place to hire, you know, a diverse group of individuals? Or what are you doing, or what's your HR doing to ensure that you're hiring, you know, minorities, or that you're giving everybody a fair shake? Instead of just asking a question like that, this one guy's like, well, do you guys hire in accordance to the Rooney Rule? And everybody's sitting there looking at him like, what are you talking about? Because nobody knows what the fuck it is. Because it's not, doesn't have anything to do with banking. And he goes, the Rooney Rule. And everybody just keeps looking at him. And he's like, the Rooney Rule. And everybody's still looking at him. Until something goes off in this guy's head. He's like, maybe I should explain myself. He's like, oh, the Rooney Rule is a rule that the NFL uses to make sure that always one person of color is considered to be hired as a manager or a GM or whatever. And everybody's still just sitting there like, okay. You know, like, why the fuck didn't you just say that? Why didn't you just say that? Why didn't you bring up this stupid example that nobody knows about? Why didn't you just say, hey, are you guys, are you considering, you know, minorities? Are you considering people of different ethnic groups when you hire? What does your diversity program look like? Wouldn't that just be a pertinent question? Instead of bringing up this stupid, obscure example? You know, like, you think fucking guys like Lloyd Blankfein give a shit about what the NFL's hiring policy is? Like, they familiarize themselves with that? Folks, that's not what you think about, okay, when you're on a fucking yacht in the Bahamas. There are other things going on in your world as a banking CEO where, you know, he might as well just ask them, all right, does anybody know who is third on the depth chart at right tackle for the Dallas Cowboys? You know, what's Brian Moynihan going to say? At one point, the one guy used so many double negatives in one of his questions that Brian Moynihan raised his hand at the wrong time. He was like, do you not support the use of hiring processes that would not consider minorities to be a potential candidate in the event that they are not available? Raise your hand. Brian Moynihan was like, you know, half up, half down, nobody else. And as soon as he put his hand up, because he didn't fucking understand the question, the guy jumped on him. He's like, Mr. Moynihan, you're saying that you don't like minorities? And he's like, no, too many double negatives, just didn't understand. It's just like, just fucking ask a normal question. You know, they gotta put these guys on trial. Like Brian Moynihan is, you know, facing 30 years for a double homicide. You know, just ask the guy a question, let him answer. The problem is when you start to blame the banks and you start to criminalize these guys immediately without even having any type of civil discourse, it just turns into like obvious grandstanding, and it's obvious why nothing is getting done. The one guy, you know, these congressional, these members of Congress, they get 5 minutes, I think. The one guy spent his 5 minutes talking about how little time he had. He was like, well, what would you guys do in the event of this, this, and this? And by the way, I have a minute and 25 seconds left. And I just posted on Twitter. I'm like, does this guy know by saying I have a minute and 25 seconds left, he's actually just using another 5 seconds? Ask your question, get your answer, and fucking move forward. You're supposed to have this shit prepared in advance, too. You know? You're supposed to have this prepared in advance. Al Green. Raise your hand if any of you is not a white male. You know, all right, Al, like, we get the point, right? Banking executives are not necessarily a diverse group of people right now. And there were 10 or 12 white men sitting in front of you. Not, like I said today on Twitter, you know, Vikram Pandit was, I think, an Indian American or whatever, a minority. He was the CEO of Citigroup. Nobody's talking about Vikram Pandit. But yes, it happened that today there were 12 white guys. Al Green, raise your hand if you're not a white male. You know, it's like, Al, fucking nobody was talking about race until you brought it up. You know? Trying to pin these guys as, you know, racists or, you know, guys that just don't want to hire people of color or hire women. You know, look, I'm sure that's the case in some cases, and I'm sure it's not the case in others. But to come out like that and just start to make the Spanish Inquisition, you know, the one guy's like, sir, do you know that it was Citigroup, you know, do you know the difference between the median salary of your average worker and the CEO is the largest gap out of any of all the banks? And the guy's like, okay. And then before he could even say anything, he was like, well, you know, I started at this bank, and I guess what he was going to say is I started low on the totem pole. But before he could even get an answer out, one of these congressional guys interrupted him. He said, well, sir, I started, well, before you answer, oh, I'm not done talking. You know, ask a question, bang, interruption immediately. Guy goes to give an answer. The congressional member anticipates an answer that they're not going to like, cuts the banking CEO off, and immediately starts talking again. Is it any fucking wonder nothing gets done within the government? Honestly, bipartisan statement, Republican, Democrat, whatever. Nothing's getting done. Folks, it's a fucking show. It's grandstanding, you know? Let me go out there and make a scene for my constituents. Let me go out there and just try to scream and kick and yell and be the squeaky wheel and maybe somebody will notice me. You know, lots of great questions too. How many employees do you have? Yeah, telling me some intern couldn't get you that information before the hearing today? You have to ask Brian Moynihan, the CEO of the company, how many employees he has? Annual report, okay? Page fucking one. You don't even have to do that. When Yahoo Finance has the answer, you know you don't need to be asking the CEO, right, the question. You know that your pay gap, are you aware? And listen, I don't want this to come off like I'm some kind of asshole, because I'm not, right? I understand that the inequality gap is widening. I get that. You know, that's the Fed's fault. That's not the banking CEO's fault. If the Fed would just stop insuring these guys and having their back all the time and socializing these losses while privatizing profits and maybe allowing some of these guys to feel the pain when they fuck up, then the inequality gap would not be widening as quickly as it is. It is because the Fed prints all this money and then it goes to the fucking top 1%. Do you know that you make more than the woman who runs the teller at your local branch in Paducah, Idaho? You were paid $21 million last year. Sure, you've got 3 decades of experience in banking and understand complex derivatives and the entire global financial system. But is it really fair for you to make $21 million as the CEO of a bank that if it went down, the entire global economic system would go under? When you have a teller that's working part-time that only makes $15 an hour, who's on her third day, is that fair? It's just such a joke. And like, I'm not Mr. fucking High Society, stick up for the CEOs, you know? I'm not walking around in $10,000 suits, all right? But I just think that the message is being missed when you go after these guys this way. If Maxine Waters wants to talk about student debt, the only thing she needs to understand is it became a problem when the fucking federal government started guaranteeing it. Because then everybody had access to it. And when everybody got access to it, then colleges were able to raise their prices. Because when colleges saw that free money was coming their way because everybody was getting loans, they knew that they could lower the quality of their education and that they could raise the prices. And when you extend loans to people that don't have the means to pay them back, or you give somebody a check or a stipend that doesn't go directly to the school, but instead allows them to take that money, turn around, spend half on a new television and the other half on a 2003 Mitsubishi Galant instead of paying their tuition and books. Well, then you're the one creating the fucking problem, the government. You're the one creating the problem. Does Maxine Waters not understand that? Does she not understand that the student debt problem, the crisis, $1.5 trillion in student debt or whatever the fuck it is. Stop! Stop printing money and giving it to people. Or at least make sure they're going to class. I was just watching Judge Judy like 2 weeks ago. And a woman was like, I took my student loan check and bought a car. Why is that allowed to happen? Shouldn't somebody be making sure that the money goes to the institution? I mean, this isn't a PhD student getting a grant to go do field work. This is somebody that wants to go to nursing school. Send the wire to fucking DeVry University or to the University of Phoenix. Don't put it in John Smith's bank account so he can turn around and buy 15 cases of beer with it and pay the rent and not work, because that's what's going on. People are like, oh, student loans, yeah, free money. And then all of a sudden everybody's freaking out because they don't have the jobs to pay it all back. And they're like, well, we need debt relief. It's like, well, you should have thought about that before you took on the debt. What was your plan? Just to take on the money and just kind of do whatever you wanted with it and then, what? Well, just hope that, you know, someday it might just go away? Credit cards, maybe. Unsecured person-to-person loans, maybe. Go stiff fucking lending club if you want to stiff somebody. But you can't stiff student debt because it's not liquidated during a bankruptcy. It doesn't go away. So now you got $1.5 trillion of this money out there that the government's responsible for putting out there, that because it's rigging the system, the quality of education is going down, the cost of tuition is going up, and now people can't pay it back. And so what is Maxine Waters' solution? The woman who doesn't understand that they just nationalized student loans, who thinks that Brian Moynihan is sitting in his evil lair just issuing student loans. Yeah. Yeah, she shovel another $250 billion onto unsuspecting students. Yeah, that's right. That's what we're going to do, see? We're going to load them up with 40% interest. And we're going to bury them in a mountain of debt. That's how she envisions Brian Moynihan, like on a Monday, going into the office, right? Eyes glowing red, pitchfork in hand. No, he's not even issuing any student loans. Well, we got to get people relief. Fucking why? Why shouldn't people be paying back this money? When all of a sudden, I mean, the whole system goes under. If all of a sudden you can just take on debt and you don't have to pay it back. I mean, everything cripples, right? Everything as we know it cripples in that case. Because then the people just go out and just take on debt and just sit around and wait for the problem to solve itself. Yeah, I spent the $40,000, but the government will pay it back for me. Fucking no! That's not how it's supposed to work. And what does she want? She wants to print more fucking money and give people relief. She wants to pay, she wants to give people student loan relief. So somebody takes on student loan debt or they get a stipend for school and they go out and they take, I mean, in her mind, say somebody gets $10,000 in it, like student loan check, right? And they could just do whatever they want with it, right? And over the course of a semester, they go to zero classes, all right? They take $1,000, they buy $1,000 worth of high-grade cocaine, they go out, they buy a flat-screen television that's 70 inches for another $2,500, they go out and buy a car for $5,000, and then they take the other $1,000 and they spend it on booze, right? And they sit at their house on the couch watching their new flat-screen TV, just bumping lines and eating fucking Whoppers and drinking beer and living a great life over the course of a semester while everybody else is going to whatever, DeVry University to become a nurse's assistant. Waters is like, yeah, we gotta give that person some relief. We gotta give him some fucking rehab, not some relief. We gotta make sure the money's going to the school. Why does that person get relief? And somebody like yourself, the listener, goes out and takes on loan or puts something on their credit card and they gotta pay it back. You go to Lowe's tomorrow and take out a loan to put in laminate flooring on your house for $4,000 and you pay it back. Great job, right? You're doing what you're supposed to do as a consumer. But you're getting shit on by people that think that we should just go out and just liquidate all this student loan debt. $1.5 trillion, we'll just monetize the debt. Do whatever. We have to give them some relief. Why? Because we have to encourage everybody to go to school. You know, college isn't for everybody, folks. But with free money from student loans, it is for everybody. Throws the whole fucking system out of whack. Fucks up prices. It fucks up the quality of education. It fucks up the job market. Because now everybody's got a fucking communications degree. That's why you keep reading all these articles. Oh, I'm a millennial. I got a communications degree. And I'm a bartender. And I live in the basement at my mom's house. This is why you see all this shit. The whole free market. It's not bad enough you went in, fucked with the whole stock market, you're fucking with the money supply, but now the whole free market is fucked up because the accessibility to student loans is off the charts. It's the same thing that happened with the goddamn mortgage market, right? Why did 2008 happen? Because everybody, me, you, and the two Pedaguanas that are refereeing the NFL game right now have access to a mortgage. If anybody can go out and get a mortgage, regardless of what their debt-to-income ratio is or what they're earning or, you know, anything. Their age, their job experience. Do you have a job? You know, remember that Seinfeld thing when he was like, I think to be a cab driver, all you need is a face. All you need's a face. You know, that's a 2007 to get a mortgage. All you needed was a face. I think all you need is a face. You don't see a lot of blank heads going out and getting mortgages, right? But that was it. And what happened? Well, the whole market went askew. Too many people got loans that they couldn't afford. Everything got fucked up. And then 2008 comes and everybody except Peter Schiff is looking at each other like they got a second head growing out of their first head, pointing to one another saying, hey, how could you let this happen? And it's the same problem we're going to have with student loan debt. But Maxine Waters wants to fix it with more debt. Take on more debt, print more money. Folks, it's a prescription for fucking disaster is what it is, all right? And then driving home, I got to see this stupid thing. Janet Yellen says the Fed is not political. Hey, you know what? Go fuck yourself, all right? Honestly, just let somebody else monopolize the conversation here, Janet Yellen. You did good, all right? You had a good run. You kept the fucking scheme afloat for 10 years or however long it was, and you oversaw one of the greatest eras in prosperity in the stock market. Whatever the fuck you want to call it, just be happy. Like I've said before on other podcasts, Yellen should be on a beach right now, getting drunk off tequila, smoking some good shit, having a good time, hanging out by herself, and saying, yeah, the Fed, that was something I did once. Those were some crazy fucking years. I'll never do it again. And instead, I gotta look at a fucking Bloomberg headline from Janet Yellen at 9:30 p.m. on a Tuesday. Janet Yellen says the Fed is not political. Are you fucking serious? First off, do you think anybody buys that bullshit? Honestly. You think anybody buys that bullshit? We have a stock market right now that's at all-time highs. All right? All-time highs. The stock market is at all-time highs, folks. We're at the ass end of a 12-year fucking bull market, and the stock market is at all-time highs, and we are lowering interest rates. We have a president that is saying we need more economic stimulus. We need stimulus, folks. We're at all-time highs. We have debt coming out of every orifice of the country. We have companies buying back their stock at 50,000 times earnings. And we need stimulus. And you're telling me if Donald Trump was not out there banging the drum for more stimulus that Jerome Powell would be looking around saying, hey, you know what? With fucking 1% unemployment and the stock market at all-time highs, this is a good time to cut rates. And then we got yelling, well, the Fed's not political. You gotta be kidding. The entire thing is one big farce. And if there's one takeaway I want you to have from this podcast, it's that today's congressional hearing was a perfect example that fucking nobody knows better than you do. All right? Nobody. And don't ever assume that anybody, whether it's a sell-side analyst, whether it's somebody in Congress, whether it's somebody on the Financial Services Committee, whether it's your wealth advisor at fucking, you know, whatever, Edward Jones or whatever shop in some strip mall you go to. Just don't assume that somebody knows more than you. The head of the Financial Services Committee has no clue. She doesn't have a clue. She's clueless. She has no clue. So she's the head of the committee. The head of the House Financial Services. That'd be like somebody just dropping me into the space shuttle tomorrow and just being like, yeah, if you could just take this up, make a left at the moon and land it on Mars, that would be great. And me being like, yeah, well, I think it's obvious I belong here. I gotta go. I got food to eat downstairs, and plus I'm going to give myself an aneurysm, which is not traditionally what you look for on a Tuesday, folks. I am out of here. Peace.